Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman. I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of the Rejected Writers Book Club.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today I have Carly Cullen. Just to give you all some background, Carly is a fantasy paranormal romance author, principal editor for Eagle Eye Editors, and she has three novels out right now. The Heart Search series, the first book is called Lost, the second one is Found, the third one is Betrayal. Carly's fantasy novel, Of Ice and Air, is releasing this Friday, and the cover was done by my book cover business, Blondie's Custom Book Covers, and we are giving away a free copy. At the end of the month, we've got all four authors that are on our podcast this month are giving away free books, so go to our Facebook page and go check that out. Welcome, Carly. We're excited to have you as part of our podcast.
Hello, and thank you very much for inviting me. Been really looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Carly. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you, Suzanne. And you?
Great. And you're calling us from England. How exciting. My home country.
Yeah, I did recognise your accent, actually.
Yeah, we give it away. Even though I've lived here 20 years, it's still there. So, Carly, the first thing we wanted to ask is, so you're published by Mirdin Publishing. Can you tell us more about them?
Well, Mirdin is actually a collective of authors. We're a closed group on Facebook. We decided between us that we were going to purchase our own ISBNs towards advertising.
Wow, that's amazing. And so you're all indie authors doing that together?
Yeah, and we sort of trade services as well. There's a couple of the ladies who are editors as well. There's another couple who do cover design. So things like that. Somebody wants an edit, for example. Then, you know, we do a trading of services that way. We've got somebody else who can make book trailers. You know, we just all work together for a common goal, which is to promote our books. We have standards, shall we say. Part of our ethos is to publish the best books that we possibly can. I'm sort of one of the principal editors that they come to.
That's amazing. And that is such the spirit of indie right now, which I love so much. So how many people are in your group?
I think we've got 25. And the great thing about it is that we're all sort of spread all over. There's three in England, one in Wales. We have a lady who's in Australia and the rest of them in the US.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that idea. Don't you think, KJ, more of us should be doing that as indie publishers, is just getting together and pooling our services?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. And then you're supporting each other. That's kind of what Suzanne and I have been talking about in terms of like when you go to market too, to have a group of people that are like your super fans that help you, you know, your reach. And then their reach on top of it and everything else. So even, you know, the collaborating of making the book, but also the after point of marketing it. I love that concept. Good for you.
I do
guys.
Too.
How long have you been doing that?
Group's been going about 3 years now. It was started by two ladies who had been with an indie publishing house. I don't know all the details, but things went wrong and the publisher went under. They decided that they were going to create this collective and invited certain authors to join them. I was one of the lucky ones.
That's really wonderful. It says on your blog that you are part of something called Eagle Eye Editors. Do you want to tell us more about that?
It's a company I started with my daughter. She has a BA honours degree in English and creative writing. She wanted to do more with her degree. And I'd already done a little bit of editing for people within my group. We decided between us that we were going to do this. It sort of blossomed from there. Basically, we can do line or copy edits. We can do developmental and structural edits. We can get beta readers, proofreaders. also formatting, format for Kindle, Smashwords, or print as well.
Oh, wow, you do a lot.
Yeah, that's a whole nother layer of services.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So when you get a new manuscript, do you have a particular process that you go through, Carly?
Yeah, I do, actually. I always get all the sort of grammar, spelling, all that sort of thing done first, because then, to me, the manuscript is cleaner.
Right.
And then I can start seeing the story more, because I don't read it as a story on the first edit, because I'm too busy looking at all the punctuation and sentence structure and repetitions and things like that. And then on the second round, then I can sort of start getting my teeth into it. One of the things that I do is that I break the manuscript down into individual chapters. Once I've finished a chapter, it gets emailed to the client so that they can be working on it while I'm working on the next chapter. And that's how we sort of go through. As soon as they've finished with the chapter, they get it back to me. So that way that the client's not waiting ages and ages for a complete manuscript. And it also means I'm not waiting for ages for it to come back to me.
Right.
It makes the whole process so much quicker.
Wow, that's great. That's actually a great way of doing it. You obviously have to have some sort of overview of the story at that point if you're writing with the scenes going back and forward.
It keeps it fresh in your mind, because as soon as I finish the last chapter, I can begin straight away on, you know, chapter one of round two or round three, whichever it is. And because it's all fresh in my mind, it means I can dive right in without having to think, what's this story about again? And
right.
It is. It's great. Do you ever see common mistakes that you wish, if you could tell people, please, this is the one thing that everybody does, don't do it. Do you have anything that's always common, or is everybody different?
There's a lot of things that are different, but my one bugbear is the word that. It is overused so much you wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
There was one manuscript I did, and I'll never forget it. There were over 3,000 vats that had to be removed.
Oh, my gosh.
That's interesting. I had someone told me that little tip before I went through my document, and I searched that, and I got rid of so many. You're right. It's kind of like something you use when you speak. But it isn't useful in your written word because it just clogs it up. It's a clutter word.
Yeah, it slows things down.
Well, I have two like that I always have to take out my manuscript. One is so, and the other is well. And I think it's because I'm English, because when we speak, you know, British would go, well, what I'm going to do is, and we don't do that so much over here, and people, my editors are always taking those out, the wells and the so's.
The well so's. Yeah, I think we all have our little bad habits. Carly, you talked about several different services that you offer through your editing services. Where do you feel is the most important? If someone's on a tight budget and they can only afford one of your, you know, one of the services, what do you think is the most bang for the buck?
But I think, you know, having the grammar and the punctuation and the sentence structures right is in some ways better than having, you know, the developmental structural, on the basis that you can give them ideas. What I tend to do, if I'm only doing a line edit for somebody, I will sort of put little comments in about things that they could possibly do to improve it in various areas. So it gives them something to look at. But, you know, of the two, I would say, you know, if the person is serious about their writing, and they don't want to be sort of lumped together with indies who just put work out there just for the hell of it and think it's wonderful when it's peppered with mistake, I think, you know, it's better for them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. If you can't, like when you were doing your first edit, when you were talking about that, it's so distracting to have all these, you know, basic grammar and spelling errors that you don't even get into the story. And a lot of people just set it aside where, you know, development of the story could be improved. But if people aren't even going to read it to get to the story level because of the mistakes, you kind of have to fix that first. You mentioned before that you have a writing group. Can you tell us some of the pros and cons of being involved in a writing group? Not just leading it, but using that as part of your writing process.
I love doing it. I've been doing it about just over 4 years now. When I first took the job on, I didn't have the foggiest idea what I was doing, and I was just sort of winging it. But I felt that the group needed structure, which it lacked before. I think it's great the way we bounce ideas off of each other. We do some critiquing. I always start each meeting off with a writing challenge, but I started something off at the last meeting, which was to do with character profiles, for example. I gave them like a tip sheet, which would prompt them into creating a character, or the finer points of creating a character and making them interesting. And, you know, maybe including a little bit of backstory. At the next meeting, where my deputy's taken over, they're going to be using that character in a story.
Wow, that's a great idea.
That's one of the things I've done. And then, you know, we take it in turns to read out what we've written. You know, we only sort of write for half an hour, and then everyone gets a chance to read their work out and for everyone else in the group to critique. And it's very interesting, some of the points that are made, and, you know, how some people will like certain parts and other people, you know, it just doesn't gel with. So it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. I think that's really cool. I like the idea, too. I guess one of the things that we're wondering, too, is being part of the group, what are the cons as well? Like, I have resisted joining a writing group. I've had a few people ask me, and I feel like I just need to write. I have such little time to write for myself. Sounds like your writing group, though, isn't like working on a manuscript. It's working on writing skills, which is a whole different thing.
Well, it's a bit of both, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, I set a writing challenge at the beginning of every meeting. I also set them a flash fiction homework, which they can do if they want to. You know, they don't have to. We also set our own writing goals.
Oh, that's
so
good.
What we want to achieve between each meeting, because we only meet monthly. I would say the cons of doing it is trying to keep it fresh and come up with interesting ideas for the group, for the challenges and that sort of thing. And one of the things I've just finished doing with them is using the five senses, for example.
Uh-huh.
And that was actually sparked off by somebody saying, you know, can I set the challenge? And it's to do with music. You know, I want to play a piece of music. So I said, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, I encouraged them to take over, if you like, and set these things. It stops me from panicking, because I've got nothing to, you know, last-minute things, you know, thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to give them today?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that sounds really neat. I'd like one thing that sounded really appealing to me is that you're having a goal set, and then you've got this group of people that are holding you accountable to that. That I know that you do is that you review books. In fact, you've reviewed my book on your blog, which I so appreciated. Can you tell me how do you approach reading that? To me, that's so daunting. I wouldn't know necessarily. I would read the book and I wouldn't necessarily know how to like talk about it and critique it. What is your technique for that?
Do try and avoid spoilers where possible. But I like to give just a hint so that people who read my blog and read the review get a sort of idea. I usually put the blurb up anyway, but, you know, I like to talk about the actual writing itself rather than how the story unfolds. So I look at characterisation, I look at the plot, you know, how things move along and whether it all ties in nicely and this sort of thing. So that's the way I tend to approach my reviews.
Yeah, I think that's really good. It's giving someone a sense of the writing, because the story could be great, but the writing, if it's not done very well, it kind of takes a really detracts. It's like the spelling errors. It's the same type of thing. It detracts from the story. So you're looking at it from a writer's perspective. And also, I think you put a little editor's eye in there as well.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a different kind of a critique, which I really appreciated. I mean, you gave me some good advice, and, you know, it wasn't just, I liked the story and this was good. It was, you know, you talked about how I'd set up the story and various other things, so.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Yes, I did. Can you give us a little bit of information on what you're working on now? I know that you have Of Ice and Air, fantasy book you're working on.
Sure. Basically, there's two worlds. One is a sky world, and one is an ice world. And the story basically is one main character. She has a mother from the ice world and a father from the sky world. And she finds out on her 21st birthday that her mother actually disappeared when she was just a couple of months old and hasn't been seen since. And nobody knows what happened to her. She goes down to the ice world and meets her other family, as it were. And she's one of these people, she has magic, but she also has very strong instincts about things. And she just felt that she could find her mother and that she knew where her mother was. Despite her grandfather's not wanting her to do this, she sets off on her own and decides that she is going to find her mother. And it's basically her story of how she actually gets there and the creatures that she has to fight off on the way. And then on the way back, the journey, the things that happen and the betrayals and her magic growing. And
that sounds fascinating, Carly. Where did you come up with the concept? Was that, did you have it for a while or did it just come to you in a flash? Or
I mean, you've both seen my avatar on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
It was that picture that basically inspired me, because I'd had her as an avatar for a long time. I decided she deserved her own book.
Oh, I love wow, that. That's sweet.
And I didn't quite know what I was going to do at first, and then the idea just came to me, and it sort of went from there, basically.
Good gracious, that's amazing.
I love that, that it was the image that inspired you for this entire story. That is really cool. Maybe you're a visual learner, too.
Maybe, yeah. You know, certain pictures and things. I mean, you're both writers, so you're going to sort of relate to this. But our inspiration comes from so many different areas. You know, it can be pictures, it can be music, it can be an overheard conversation. There's so many ways inspiration can come to you. And it was her appearance which basically gave me the idea for the two different worlds and how or what features of her was from which world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I love it. It's just this creative mind. You know, you have the image and then you created this entire dual worlds and this story based on that. I think that's, I love it. I love finding out how writers get their ideas. It just, I don't know. It's exciting to me. Yeah.
Well, that's why it was so important for me, as you already know, to have not the same image, because I wasn't able to do that, but yeah, one as similar as possible on the book cover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know that, KJ, you're really pleased with how it's coming along, right?
Oh, I'm madly in love with this cover. It is so beautiful. I cannot wait to share it with you guys. We found the original picture was it was an artist rendition. And what we did was found a girl that looked similar and used makeup and then Photoshop to turn her into, I think, a more alive likeness, especially in the eyes, because it's an actual person. You can't really imitate the reflections and everything that you can with a photograph. And my photographer, Jody Smyers, is brilliant. I was really impressed with how he, you know, we showed him the image that you had, Carly, on your avatar, and for him to translate this into what it is, it's stunning. It's beautiful.
He has done an amazing job, and it's come out so much better than I could have dreamed.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's wonderful, dear. We'll make sure that we put a link to your on the website in case people are interested to see that.
As soon as I saw it, I knew that had to be my avatar, and I've got it on my business cards.
Ah, that's neat.
Everything I do, basically, it's her on there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you chose well, and I love. I didn't even know the story behind how it turned into an entire novel. So now she's kind of like your calling card. You know, this novel might be very close to your heart because of the avatar and everything around it. So I love it. Tell us, one of the things that we ask all the authors on here is, what are your best social media tips? What have you found successful in connecting with people and selling books?
Some parts of that I've actually found quite hard. But with my author page on Facebook, I have found that doing the Facebook ads, where it's brought to the attention of my target market, and as you know, I write for new adult and adult,
mm-hmm.
So I've been able to sort of pick certain countries, pick an age group. The response from that has been absolutely amazing.
Wow.
You know, I went from a couple of hundred likes on my page to, you know, well over 500, wow. Almost in the blink of an eye.
That's great. I haven't talked to a lot of people who have used those ads. I did a few ads when I was promoting the calendar that I did last year, and it did seem to increase sales a little bit, but I didn't want to invest a whole lot of money in it just because I wasn't sure about it. But have you seen that translate actually into sales of your books, or just attention to your Facebook page?
I wouldn't say it's transferred into huge numbers of sales, but I do think the number of sales has increased,
mm-hmm.
because whereas earlier it was a little bit patchy, now it seems like every month I've got sales, whereas before I'd sort of miss months here and there. So yeah.
So you actually put an advert on every month, Carly? Is that what you do?
Oh no, I don't do that.
Okay.
I've only done two. I've targeted sort of different countries each time, but always same age group. You know, it's just really sort of jumped the number of people interested in my Facebook page.
Well, good.
So, you know, that's one thing I've done. The other thing is doing a Goodreads giveaway,
right.
Where you give away, you know, one of your books. Everyone wants something for nothing to the book itself,
yeah.
Whereas they might not have known it existed before. When I did that for Lost and Found in the Heart Search series, I had well over 1,000 people on each book wanting to get their hands on it. Now, you know, 1,000 people can translate to, you know, quite a lot of sales, yeah. Over time.
Right, and buzz. I mean, if they put it on their to-read list, everyone that follows them could see that, and if they've read it, and hopefully we'll put a review up.
And so. It's great to have that connection. You suddenly have, you know, you go from, like, being in Twitter or somewhere where you're trying to find people to all these people that are readers. That's what was great for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I did it for, like, 30 days or something, and I was just totally amazed at how many people suddenly wanted to get their hands on my book, and it was like, wow.
Yeah, pretty low risk. I mean, there's no cost except for the book that you're sending somebody. Well, can you tell us how a Wattpad works? I started to sign up, and then I realized it gave out my phone number, and I thought, I got too many social media sites going anyway, and I've had enough strange things happen without people having my actual phone number.
Yeah.
So I backed off, but if there's some value to it, maybe I'll get a fake phone number or something and go for it.
Yeah, I transposed a few digits in mine.
Oh, okay.
So
didn't have to be legit.
Have the right number.
Smart. That's really smart.
Are you telling us that someone's getting your phone calls, Carly? Someone else?
Oh, your creepers are getting the wrong.
Possibly.
That's weird.
But yeah, I mean, as far as Wattpad is concerned, I do think it has value. It doesn't cost you anything to go on there. You can put up whatever stories you want, and people will read them, some will leave comments, some will just leave a rating. But obviously, the more people you have reading your work, the more word spreads on there.
Yeah.
And although they haven't got a ranking system or anything like that I'm aware of at the moment, anyway, as I say, I haven't been on there for a while. But, you know, if people read some of your short stories, then they might like the style of your writing enough to look at what else you've done outside of Wattpad.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually a good idea. And it's, as I say, it's something that I'm hoping to sort of get back into. I'm so busy with writing novels and everything else. Yeah. But I just don't have the time to write short stories at the moment. That's why, you know, part of the reason why I haven't been doing very much with it.
Right. Now, is it just short stories you put up, or can you put up, like, a chapter from a published book?
Oh, yeah, you can do that as well. There's a couple of authors I know that have actually serialized the whole novel on there. Getting sales.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. So that might, I don't have time to write new short stories, but, you know, it might be good for our listeners too. You go check that out. Put up some chapters from a book you're trying to sell. It's certainly harmless, you know, at best, because it doesn't cost anything. It just takes your time. I might look into that.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I wouldn't put a whole book up there.
No. You want to sell it.
I mean, some people have, but the first 3 or 4 chapters are usually enough to get them hooked if the writing's good enough.
Right.
And, you know, once they're on the hook, you know, it's like fishing, isn't it?
Reel them in.
That's the one. Yeah, something else that I sort of do when I'm not writing and I'm not editing, which isn't very often, but... I actually run a jewellery business, again, with my daughter.
Oh.
And we do handmade jewellery. There's a sort of fantasy side, which is sort of like my baby. We do crystals, natural crystals, like agates and rose quartz and things like that. We also have a small section which deals with book, film, and TV-related material. So, for example, Charmed. I don't know if you remember that TV series.
Yeah, I do. Well, that's what I was thinking as you're saying that. I've seen a lot of authors do giveaways where they're trying to promote their book. They give away the book, and then they have a piece of jewelry or something with that. Is that something that you could design based on a particular author's book or something?
Actually, yeah. We've got this material, and I'm not going to give my trade secrets away. But basically, we can transpose things like book covers onto this material and make it into jewellery. So it could be key rings, it could be tiny ones on a charm bracelet or earrings or bigger ones for necklaces.
Oh, that's cool. So I could have my Stealing Time cover or part of it on a necklace or something?
Yep.
Oh, I love that. That is neat. I think
that would be a nice gift for editors or people that have helped you in the process, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that, I'm just thinking, like, my mom, because then it's a jewelry, like, oh, yeah, my daughter wrote this book, you know, thinking like that. But also, as a giveaway, you know, you give away a bookmark or other things. I would probably enjoy a necklace if it's something beautiful. You know, you don't want to have a horror cover. I guess some people may enjoy that kind of jewelry. But, like, for me, I'm thinking about, just, you know, something beautiful like that. There's some covers out there. Like, Suzanne, yours would be hard just because you've got people on it. It would be very small. But
right.
The cake or something along those lines, that it would be a connection to the cover or whatever.
Also, you know, if there's particular charms that would tie in, for example, with my Heart Search series, because it contains vampires, then I've got things like fang teeth. As a charm.
Right.
And that ties in with it as well. So depending on the subject of the book, depends on whether we can actually get charms that will link in as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a romance, you know, obviously you can get hearts and things like that. There's more to it than just having the book cover.
Yeah, that's true. Like for Stealing Time, it could be a watch, it could be, you know, various things that are connected into the storyline. I love that idea. That is really neat.
So we'll actually put the link of your website up, Carly, but do you want to just say it now in case people don't get to the website so people know where it is?
For it as well, which is Angel Wings. That's the name of the company. And the link is shop.angelwingsjewelry, spelt the English way, .co.uk.
Great.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Nice tie-in to and another creative way to help people promote their books. Love it.
Yeah.
All right, well, Suzanne, are we ready for our lightning round?
Yeah, are you, Carly? Are you ready for your lightning round?
Fasten my seatbelt.
Well, that's always interesting about this. We always learn something new every time we do this about an author that we would never have guessed or whatever. It's always really fun. So you just whatever comes to your mind. And
it might kind of get a bit dangerous, but okay.
Yeah. so first question, Carly. Tea or coffee?
Tea, definitely. I can't stand coffee.
Okay. For writing, silence or music?
Mostly silence.
And if music, what would you use? What do you normally use?
I listen to Muse a lot.
Ah. Yeah.
Also listen to Sarah McLachlan.
Great. Great. Okay. What did you want to be growing up?
I wanted to be an air stewardess.
Oh.
Oh, that's cute.
Is there a book you could read every year?
Goodness. Tower of Bones by Connie J. Jesperson.
Oh. Okay. Dog or cat?
Dog.
What author would you most like to have dinner with, dead or alive?
Ooh. Now, that's a difficult one because there's so many really amazing authors. Actually, I think Charles Dickens.
Oh, that was mine too. Interesting. Oh,
good answer.
Favourite vacation spot?
So, from everywhere that I've been to, I would have to say the US Virgin Islands, St. Thomas in particular. I absolutely adored it there, and the people were wonderful. They were so friendly.
Favourite book genre to read?
That's an easy one, fantasy.
Okay, good. Do you write best in the morning or at night?
Yes.
Okay.
I write really well in the mornings, and I often find that when I'm just about to go to bed, I get some inspiration popping into my head, and I just sort of dive in, and before I know it, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Yeah. If money was no object, where would you live?
Somewhere warm. I quite like the idea of California, actually.
Oh.
But I've got so many friends that are stateside, and I think it would be wonderful to have the chance to, you know, be closer to them and perhaps meet up with them and things like that.
Florida.
Things
you were
like that.
You were in Florida, weren't you, Carly, during Charlie?
Yes, I was actually in Florida through Hurricane Charlie.
Yeah.
In 2004.
Wow. Hey, favourite comfort food, Charlie.
Hurricane will not answer about comfort food.
My comfort food is either chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Or cinnamon buns or cinnamon swirls, something like that.
Wow.
I do have a very sweet tooth, which is my downfall.
Oh, wow. Carly, do you have a nickname?
Yeah, funny enough, Eagle Eyes.
Eagle Eyes?
Eagle Eyes. I guess that's connected to your writing, right?
Actually, no, it's the other way around. As I was sort of growing up in the family, it was either Eagle Eyes or Hawk Eyes. If somebody dropped something on the floor and couldn't find it, I was always the one that would spot it. So I sort of grew up with that nickname, able to spot mistakes and things in people's manuscripts when I edit them. When we decided to form the company, it just seemed natural to call the company Eagle Eye.
Oh, fabulous.
It's a good name.
It is a great name. And lastly, beach or mountains?
Oh, beach every time. I do love the sun.
Perfect. I'm right there with you. I love beach and ocean and all that good stuff.
Oh, I know how much you love the sea, KJ.
Did you get that from any of my conversations with you?
Well, that and some of your photographs that you put on Facebook and Blondie in the Water is a little bit of a giveaway.
For those of you who don't know, that's my blog. I have lots of water adventures. I live in Dirtville, and that was kind of my therapy to relive some of my more beautiful water moments.
Nice. I think it's a lovely idea.
Yeah, well, it does help, especially in the middle of winter when the dirt is blowing at 40 miles an hour, and I'm not lying about that where I live, and to pretend I'm back in Bermuda. It's a lovely thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yes. Well, it's like writing. You know, you go somewhere, you create, I'm sure this is with your new book coming out, you created a world that you were interested in. I'm sure there's elements of you thrown into these fantasy worlds that you've created.
Yeah, I guess there is.
Well, great. Well, this has been a great interview. I've really enjoyed getting to know you better, and I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed myself.
Good.
And, you know, it's been lovely chatting to both of you.
Lovely to meet you too, Carly.
Yeah, it is, Suzanne. Yeah, it's been great to meet you as well. I look forward to more chats.
Thank you for joining us on Blondie and the Brit today. We've really enjoyed getting to know Carly Cullen and her works. Suzanne, it's been great to have you as well. Ladies, have a lovely afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Please join us next week for our special Thanksgiving podcast, where we interview S.J. Herman, and he talks about his book, Morium, that covers the difficult topic of bullying, which is something that has inspired his writing.
You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.